Now, another hour of Smart Talk, 620 KPOJ, Portland's Talk.
To the hills of Los Angeles, a voice is rising to serve justice. This is the Norman Goldman Show, the home of fierce independence, intelligent dialogue, and passionate logic is right here, right now. Sitting in for Norm, here is Adam Klugman, host of Mad as Hell in America Radio. Heard Saturdays on AM 620, Portland's Talk, KPOJ.
Welcome to the Norman Goldman Show. And like the woman said, I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman. This is the place where justice is served, and I am honored to be here, a part of that mission of serving justice to America alongside a gentleman the likes of Norman Goldman, who is out doing good political works in the world tirelessly. I spoke with him this morning, and he is tirelessly doing good political works. This is a man who is committed to changing the direction of this country. I'd like to think of myself the same way, and I feel like I'm in good company. I'm actually in Norm's chair, in Norm's studio, working with Norm's team in Los Angeles. It is an honor. The sun is out, which we do not have in Portland, Oregon. If you want to know more about me, you can log on at www.madashellinamerica.com. Or you can check me out in my earlier incarnation as a media strategist at adamklugman.com. And, well, we had another one of those things that they call a Republican debate. I think they're planning on having 642,000 of them this year. I think we're at about 312,000. I don't know how many they have planned. I don't know how long they are going to torture us with these things. But we're stuck with it, and I want to talk about it. And I'm going to take kind of a meta approach, because the non-meta approach, the micro approach, is really depressing. But before I get into that, since Thanksgiving is tomorrow, I just want to have a little moment of gratitude. Because I'm in Los Angeles, this is where my father lives, and I got a chance to go over there this morning. And you know, he's married to a Shiksa, no offense to Shiksas. But he doesn't get any Jewish food, and he loves Jewish food, and this is something we share. So I went by Jerry's. I got him a pastrami sandwich, a Dr. Brown's black cherry, a real kosher dill pickle, and I sat with him, and I watched him eat it, and we just talked for about an hour before I came to the studio, and I just felt so grateful just to have this very simple, mortal moment with him in time. It was really sweet. He listened to the show yesterday, and he said, "You did great." Which is nice. I don't get that a lot. And so it was really good. Good, beautiful human moments. So as we go into Thanksgiving, remember to remain grateful, because that is really the source of our transformation. Gratitude is where we always can begin again. So like I said, we had another Republican thingy. They call it a debate. I'm not sure what it is. We'll call it a Republican thingy. And I try, you know, I really try to take it seriously. I want to take it seriously, and I really try to pay attention. I mean, I'm a political radio talk show host, and I really want to care about things like the Republican debate, particularly on something like national security. But, you know, it just gets harder and harder to give a rip about what any of our politicians are saying these days, because it seems to have so little bearing on what actually matters. Do you know what I mean? It's like that's one of the things I love about the Occupy movement. It's not just this circular firing squad of pathetic talking points and bad ideas that keep leading us back to the same problem we started with. Because that's all we get from these clowns. I mean, Republicans and Democrats both kind of pouring over power like golems, you know, grotesquing themselves and our national dialogue with political opportunism, saying anything they think we want to hear, hammering fear and aggression into weapons that they ask us to use against ourselves and each other, defending absurdities like the Patriot Act and warrantless wiretapping and beating the tired drum of terrorism and 9/11, telling us that national security must be our highest priority, at the same moment that they scheme to wrap their twisted, narcissistic ambitions around the very same machine that is destroying our country. But I watch it anyway, because I have to. And as I do, I can feel myself, you know, kind of getting sucked into the insane logic of it all. You know, I find myself refuting Newt Gingrich or fighting with Mitt Romney as if it were a real debate about something that actually matters. But like I was saying, these are not issues. These are distractions. Because the entire predicate upon which this conversation is based is false. And that predicate is the idea that we can save ourselves if we can only just opine correctly. If we can just say it in the right way or get the right most amount of applause or tweak this policy over here or cut this program over there. You know, and I get it. I mean, I know there are real practical considerations that we must address. But I also get that we will never solve the problems we face with the same people, the same system, the same mindset that created them. It is simply impossible. Again, that is why the Occupy movement is so vital to our survival, because it represents a paradigm shift, an emergence of a new mind and a new set of priorities that will redefine what democracy looks like for the next 100 years. And that's what it's going to take to get us out of this mess. You know, and it might look a little ugly for a while, and it might feel a little scary and a little out of control, but unless we are willing to shake things up, I mean, really rattle the foundations of existing power, we will keep getting the same nauseating, bipolar, political amusement park ride that swings from hope to fear and back again every 4 to 8 years, with all the rest of us spinning inside these kind of manic, depressive delusions that keep us sick and isolated from each other. And enslaved to power in a way that reminds me of a bad car accident or a Republican debate, you know, where we can't look, but we can't look away. So that's what I do. I look and I look away at the same time, because I've got to pay attention. I'm a radio show host, for God's sake. But I've also got to look away because I am also a human being. And I know that the only hope we have is if we can find a way to tell a new story about ourselves, one that usurps this Roman circus and kind of lets the truth run wild through the lies and illusions being wielded like weapons against our common sense, our ability to think critically, and our fundamental human decency. I mean, if you want to talk about national security, okay. I've got some suggestions for America. Be a better, kinder, less manipulative, less exploitive, less violent presence in the world, and guess what happens? Other countries won't hate you. Don't prop up brutal dictators all over the world in the name of freedom and democracy and miracle of miracles. People trust you. Don't start illegal wars for profit based on lies, and it is amazing how people are suddenly so much happier to see you. Or how about this one? Don't use the United Nations as an international lobbying firm for multinational corporations so that we can, as one world, in earnest, begin to solve the very real problems of climate change, poverty, hunger, oppression, slavery, and all of sorts of self-inflicted ills that want to change if we will only stop pursuing our own self-interest at the expense of absolutely everything else. So what if we thought of national security in terms of our character and our behavior and not our rhetoric? What if we took the approach that other nations are entitled to the resources under their own land, and we will trade them that for our respect and our ingenuity and our wealth and our trust? What if we gave foreign aid to countries like Israel, not so they could buy weapons and tanks and bulldozers to destroy and terrorize their neighbors, but so that they would build hospitals and universities and cooperative farms that breed a culture of exchange and goodwill? I mean, my God, it just doesn't seem that complicated to me. But instead, all we get from these Republicans is scary bedtime stories about the nasty brown people over there that want to kill us, or the nasty brown people over here that want to take our jobs, or how government is bad and it wants to steal our money and destroy our freedom. I mean, it's just all fear and hate and aggression. And kind of in spite of ourselves, we respond to it. Because in our tiny reptilian brains, we need to believe in these things somehow, some way, because it lets us feel in control. And the Republicans know this. And they serve it up every time because it means votes, and votes means power. And the Democrats, you know, they aren't really much better. I mean, if there was a Democratic debate, you wouldn't be hearing about Bradley Manning, an American citizen being held and tortured in his own country without due process. You wouldn't hear about Barack Obama extending Bush policies of torture and warrantless wiretapping. You wouldn't hear about the inhumanity of some 22-year-old Army kid in Las Vegas using a joystick to operate drones that drop explosives on families in Pakistan. You wouldn't hear about any of these things. And I'm sorry to go on and on, but we need to look at this stuff because for the love of God, we have got to stop this madness before it's too late. So all of this is rolling around inside of me as I watch these absolutely ludicrous debates ad infinitum, ad nauseum, and pretend like they are relevant when everything inside of me wants to run out of the room screaming. And I try to walk away, you know, and say, you know what, to hell with it. I don't care anymore. I don't want to care. But that's not true either, because I do care, and I don't ever want to not care. But I just can't take it sometimes. So it leaves me with this challenge, you know, because that's the growing edge for all of us. Like, to take all that this world throws at us, all the slings and arrows and losses and heartbreaks and tragedies, and still retain the capacity to care. Are we able to live in this insane slaughterhouse of a civilization we've created for ourselves with eyes wide open and wake up each day in spite of our own personal disappointment and our aching despair for the planet and insist that this world, yes, this one, is worth caring about? That it must be, I'm going to use the L word now, loved. Do we have the courage to love this world? Because in fact, we are the only ones who can do it. In fact, it all depends on us, because without you and me finding a way to keep that feeling alive, there is no innocence left in the world and no hope, because it is our capacity to care, to find a way to love the whole doomed human project each and every day that will save us in the end, not the next Republican debate. Because it is this capacity to care that keeps us human. It is what keeps us alive to ourselves and to each other, and preserves the possibility that one day we will actually evolve a different kind of politics. A politics of caring. A politics of love. And then, man, I'll watch the debate with a whole different point of view, right? I mean, then paying attention won't be an effort. It won't be facts masquerading as truth, and we won't need a bunch of suited technocrats force-feeding us their opinions to help us understand our world. We will understand our world, and we will understand what is needed, because it will be a story we understand, because it will be a story about us, not them. And I guess that's what I can't stand about politics today, and especially these debates. They diminish our capacity to care. And sometimes, you know, you just have to look away from the car accident. And when I do, it helps if I play a little game with myself. I kind of close my eyes and imagine all of the noise, all of the clamoring, and the industry, and the ambition, and the political posturing just coming to a complete stop. And then, in that silence, I can see us there, like, as we really are. And I can imagine a new story starting to write itself. A story about justice that engenders peace. And we are there, together. In that peace, in that silence, because this is where we will start again. Because this is where we can remember ourselves. This is where we stop telling ourselves the same old story over and over again with the same mind and the same people. Because the real debate, the one that will truly usher in a new age, is not out there. It's right here. With us. Right now. Gently asking the next question. Not at the podium, not on TV, not at the dais, but in the vast, open silences of our highest potential. So that's what I've got to say about the debates. It's your turn next. 1-888-321-6001. Join the conversation. I want to hear from you. We're going to have to get into the muck of it, but I wanted to rise above first. Join us on Facebook at the Norman Goldman Show, normangoldman.com, or you can send me a message at adam@madashellinamerica.com. It's your calls next.